again, sitting in the comfortable position. Close your eyes now. Now, when your eyes are closed, you'll find you can become more aware of your body. And ask yourself whether the body is comfortable. I'm talking about a comfort which one can maintain without moving for around 10 minutes. If the body needs adjusting, now's a good time to adjust it at the beginning of the meditation. But keeping the eyes closed, you'll find you will become more sensitive. And when the body is set up, then leave it alone, let it be. There's no need to move it anymore. We're going to put our attention, instead of on the body, on the mind. And remind yourself that this is meditation time. It's not a time for your business. And imagine yourself with two heavy suitcases, one in each arm. The one in the left arm is filled with your past. Imagine yourself with that heavy suitcase which you've been carrying around for such a long time. Imagine yourself putting down that suitcase on the ground. So you have no past for the meditation time. And remind yourself not to pick this suitcase of the past up again until this meditation is finished. And then imagine in the other hand, in your right hand, you have another heavy suitcase filled with the future, your fears, expectations, anticipations, how heavy they may be. Put them down on the ground and feel the release of two heavy burdens. They will be there for you to pick up later. No one can take them away, but you're leaving them down there to rest the mind which has been carrying them for so long. When you've let go of the past and you've let go of the future, what are you left with? You're left with this body and this mind inside. In the present moment, just now, how do you feel? As you're looking at how you feel, can you see what I referred to earlier as the experience and the commentary? Just like a television set with two sources of information. What's actually happening now and what you say about it. Turn all of your attention to the experience and don't listen to the commentary. Just to know the experience of now. An experience before words. Then experience one breath going in and one breath going out. And then another breath going in and going out. And then another. Watching this rhythm of breathing as if it was waves on the shore. Not trying to control it. As if you're standing back and just watching. Watching in the moment. Be careful of the commentary. Just put all the attention on the breath, the experience. And know the experience of one breath as clearly as you can. If you put your attention on it for a long time, you start to see things about the breath you would never imagine were there. The only thing you need to be concerned about is that breath happening right now. Right now. Right now. If the commentary is still there, see if you can catch the experience just before the commentary starts. Not trying to control or give any orders, but for once in your life, just being a silent observer. Always beginning just by watching one breath. just being one breath. Not forcing the mind, nor trying too hard, but letting your attention rest gently on the air which sustains your very life. Just watch one more breath. And now notice how you feel. How you feel deep inside. Laying down those suitcases. Do you feel any peace? Any softness and quietness and stillness inside. What does peace actually feel like as an experience? I'm going to ring the gong now, and when the gong finishes resounding, quietly, slowly, open your eyes. But don't move any other part of your body, just open your eyes. And know how you feel. To know the result of just 10 minutes of meditation. The peace in the mind and the peace in the body. And then come out of the meditation and move your body again and get comfortable. So that is a taste of this thing we call meditation. There's many things which you would have experienced during those few minutes. One of the things you'd have experienced is how difficult this meditation can be sometimes. We just want to watch the breath, choosing our object, but we do other things. You may become aware of that which I call the experience and the commentary, and how addicted we are to the commentary, and how little we know of experience. We think about life, very rarely do we live it. And hopefully that you would have known through experience at least some degree of peace and some degree of stillness of body, and realize that which we call peace of mind is a great joy and happiness, and that peace in the body is a great delight, a great pleasure. You may often notice every time you move or scratch or fidget, why? The reason why you move or scratch or fidget is to get rid of a pain or a disturbance or a discomfort. This body is full of discomfort, that's why we can't keep it still. The only time you can actually rest this body is through meditation, when the mind goes inside and forgets about this body. That's why you can sit still for such a long time. The itches, the aches and discomforts disappear when we don't give them attention. That's how we rest the body. Even when we're sleeping, we're in constant movement. In meditation, we leave the body alone and it settles down by itself. So these are some of the things you may have noticed in this meditation and gained at least some sense of what I mean by peace of mind and tranquility of the body. And it's important that one can get this sense of what these things mean, because afterwards it will give one the incentive to meditate more and more, to develop that which we call peace of mind. There are many, many things worth developing in this world. Peace of mind is one of the most important. And to illustrate this, I'm going to finish with a story. It's a story I've told many times here. It's a story of the philosopher and the old sea captain. This was a story of many years ago, in the days when travel was by these big ocean liners, the days before aeroplanes and 747s. There was a professor going to give a series of lectures in another country. He was traveling by one of these big ocean liners. After dinner one evening, he went up on the deck and he saw an old sailor who had obviously sailed the oceans for many, many years. And the professor, being in a good mood, went up to that sailor and saw the sailor looking into the waves. And he went up to that sailor and said, "Old man, you must have sailed these oceans for most of your life." "Yes," said the old man, "for over 60 years. You must know everything about what's in these waves, both the currents and the animals and the fishes which live and dwell beneath you, because you've travelled on these very waves and ocean for so many years. You must be an expert on marine science." The old man said, "Actually, no, I don't know a thing about marine science." "What," said the professor, "all these years you've sailed on these oceans, you never bothered to learn about the life beneath you? What a stupid old man, what a waste of a life." And that's what the professor said as he walked disgusted away. The second night, after a particularly good meal, he went on deck again, and what did he see? The old sailor again. He thought he'd give the old man a second chance. And he saw the old man looking up at the stars, and he said, "Well, at least this old sailor must know something about astronomy. After all, the stars guide the ship and tell them where they are." So he went up next to the old man and said, "Do you see that star over there and that constellation? Name this." And the old sailor said, "What are you talking about?" "What," said the professor, "in all these years sailing the oceans, have you never bothered to learn about the heavens above you, about the stars and their positions?" "No," said the old man. "What a stupid old man," said the professor. "What a waste of a life, what a waste of a life." And the professor walked away, disgusted again. The third night at sea, after a particularly good meal, it was such a beautiful night on the ocean. A very calm and warm breeze was wafting over the waves. And the professor was in such a good mood, he thought he'd give the sailor one more chance. After all, it was the winds which drove the ship. And two strong winds would be a storm which could damage the ship. If the winds were too light, they'd make no progress. The winds were important for sailing a ship. And actually, the professor was a professor of meteorology. So he went up to the old man and said, "Ah, I understand now. You don't know anything of astronomy, nor the marine science. But obviously, I know now, you must be an expert on the winds. You probably know more about meteorology than I do, having experienced these things rather than studied them in the university." "Actually," said the old man, "I know nothing about meteorology." "What," said the professor, "all these years at sea, You never bother to learn about the winds around you which drive your ship. Never bother to learn about the stars above you which guide your ship, nor the waves beneath you. What a stupid old man. What a waste of a life, what a waste of a life, said the professor as he walked away, determining never to speak to this fool ever again. The fourth night at sea, he didn't even go up on deck. He didn't even have dinner because it was one of those rough nights at sea. And the professor had quite a weak stomach. He decided to stay in his cabin. As the night wore on, the storm grew stronger. And the ship was rolling quite heavily. And the professor became afraid. His fear grew to a crescendo when he heard people running outside his cabin door. He opened the door, and who was outside but the old sailor man? The old sailor stopped and turned round to the professor and said to the professor, "In all these years, professor, have you ever learnt about swimming?" "No," said the professor. And the sailor walked away saying, "What a stupid professor, what a waste of a life, what a waste of a life, the ship's sinking." And I leave that with you because there's many important things in this life to learn, but to swim is very important if you're going to sail in a ship. If you're going to live in this world, peace of mind is important. Make sure you can swim. Now that finishes the talk about meditation today. Before we finish, are there one or two questions anyone would like to ask before we finish off? Yes?
Doesn't mean if you doze off that you relax.
Sorry?
You meditate.
Okay, if you meditate and you doze off. I always say that dozing off is a good sign. It means that your mind is peaceful, but it's not good enough because the mind is peaceful, but you're not there to enjoy it. So keep the peace, but like make yourself aware, so you can enjoy that peace rather than missing it all. So it just needs a little bit more sharpness of mind, a little bit more what we call awareness. Brighten the mind more, and then you can be peaceful and be fully aware of it at the same time. It's like going on a beautiful holiday and spending all the time in bed. Has anyone got another question they'd like to ask? Yes? How often should you meditate? How often should you eat? Every day, good. Many times a day. Why do you eat? You eat because it keeps you healthy in the body. If you eat too much, you know, you get fat and it's not good for you. Eat too little, you get thin, you have no energy. If you don't meditate, it's not getting enough food for the mind. It's one of the reasons that people feel ill and have stress, because they're having no food for the mind. They feed the body, they exercise it, but we don't feed and exercise our mind. So give the mind as much meditation as it needs to feel healthy. And only you can answer that question. But to start with, in the next week, if you feel that this meditation is interesting and you want to continue with it, I'd advise you to do 10 minutes every day. And then next week, we can come back and you'll have some experiences and some problems which you'll come up with, which I'll be talking about next week. So if you're interested in this meditation, you really want to get the most benefit from it, I'd encourage you to find, you know, just 10 minutes a day to meditate. If you have a very busy day, then you really need to meditate a lot. There's a very famous saying, a monk once said that there's not much time, therefore we must go slowly. When you go fast, that's when you waste time, you make mistakes. If you have a very busy life with much responsibility, you have to learn how to go slowly And meditation is a way of learning to go slowly. After a while, you'll find that you value the peace of meditation. And every opportunity you have, at least once a day, maybe twice, maybe three times, you will want to meditate to enjoy peace of mind. And you'll find that a few moments of peace which you give yourself during the day will create a sense of being able to cope with the difficulties of life. A good meditation afterwards, someone can call you all sorts of names, things can go wrong, life can become difficult, and you can cope with it all because you've got peace in your heart. After a while, if you have no peace in your heart, you can't cope with anything. You have a breakdown. So, that's my answer. It's not a direct answer, but it's an answer which is useful for each one here. So we have to leave the questions now. If you have any individual questions you wish to ask, you can please come up and ask them of me individually. There are some notes which are available at the back, which you can take away with you about this session. There are some things which I've covered, there's some things which I have not. Those things which I haven't covered on those sheet of notes I will cover next week. And next week we'll be covering those things and also covering mainly some of the problems in meditation, so that one knows his problems and knows how to overcome them, so that one can proceed in one's meditation as swiftly and trouble-free as possible. There's also some tea and coffee and biscuits which are available in the room just opposite on your right as you go out. And so thank you for coming and happy meditating.